Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's marvelous grace, I am blessed to come to Him in worship today in the teaching and preaching ministry of His Holy Word. It is my joy to meet with you also, dear radio listener, this Lord's Day. Friends, you can learn more about Mission Africa at missionafricajk.home.blog. Today our text is found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, which reads in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." I continue today in a teaching that I started 2 weeks ago, in which we are looking at deceptions, modern-day deceptions, which challenge the church's belief of God's Word, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been making the point that we must hold to Christ, to the Word of God, as the verse that I just read for you tells us, that we are to beware lest any man cheat us, that is, steal truth from us, plunder us, take us into captivity through a worldly philosophy and an empty deceit, that is, a lie that promises something that it cannot fulfill. These deceptions come according to the traditions of men and according to false beliefs, that is, the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. And so we are challenged in our day to hold to Christ, to recognize deceptions that are influencing the church, perhaps particularly in the West, and to believe God's Word, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ through His precious Word. Friends, let us pray. Thank you for your grace, your faithfulness, Lord. How we need your Spirit's unction, your help now, as we seek to understand deceptions that are influencing the church, that are real attacks against the church, against the truth of Christ and His sufficiency. And so guide us now, Holy Spirit, and bless the teaching, and bring precious truth into our hearts. Strengthen your true people that they may stand against these schemings, these lies of the devil. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. In the past, we've defined the word philosophy simply for our purposes. That means an understanding of life, of the nature of life, apart from the truth of God, apart from faith in Christ. We've also defined the word ideology, a word that we hear often these days, as a system of ideas and ideals, especially one which forms the basis of economic or political theory or policy. We've noted that a social construct is a concept which is agreed upon by people, by a culture, but that social constructs are also not scripture. A common term that we hear often these days is social justice. And we noted that as it is defined by non-Christian peoples generally, it is a call for justice which contrasts with the biblical understanding of justice for people. We also looked at another word to understand its meaning, that we might understand its influence upon us, and that is the word anarchism, which contrasts with the biblical definition of the ordination of civil government. Anarchism is the thought that government, civil government, is needless and that we should simply do away with it. Again, an unbiblical idea. In all of these thoughts of men which are not equivalent with the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, the Holy Word of God, which is authoritative and absolutely pure, in these understandings of men which are not inspired by God, we see great error. And today Christians are being influenced greatly by movements which contain ungodly philosophies and ideologies, social constructs, encouraging an unbiblical social justice and anarchism. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every work. The Word of God is sufficient, it is inerrant, it is infallible, it cannot err. It is given by God and it achieves its purposes to teach us. This is the very breath of God, the inspired Word of God. It corrects us. It shows us how to live in a way that pleases God so that we are complete and able to please God. At this point, we'll continue to define some terms and then speak more broadly of the beliefs of movements that seek to deceive Christians today, that indeed seek to deceive all people because of the errors, the deceptions that are contained in the beliefs, the views of these movements. Socialism is a theory or system which involves economics in which the means of production, distribution, and exchange of a country or culture, society, are owned by the community collectively, usually through the state. Socialism is tied to Marxism, the theories, the views of Karl Marx, a communist. Marx believed that the political, economic, and social theories that he endorsed and taught, which include the belief that the struggle between social classes is a major force in history, and that there should eventually be a society created in which there are no classes, no class distinctions. Basic principles of Marxism are that in primitive communism there is a cooperative tribal society. A basic principle of Marxism is that there is to be a cooperative aspect in society to level out all classes and distinctions of society in a real sense, so there is a political, economic, and social equality. People do not work for themselves, as in a capitalistic system. They work, but funds that they may make by their work are given to the government, and the government then distributes funds to people. Marxism is an atheistic system, and socialism also is generally an atheistic system. One man has noted that socialism substitutes a temporal class-based morality for divine revelation. In other words, divine revelation and truth is supplanted by the views of socialism. Socialism erodes religious liberty and societal liberty. Its goal is to replace Christian thought with a secular narrative. Marxism is against capitalism. Marxism, one man writes, is the direct opposite of capitalism, which is defined as an economic system based on private ownership. Socialism results in reduced incentives, reduced prosperity, has low feasibility, and has negative social and political effects. A country which has sought to live by socialistic and also Marxist principles is the nation of Venezuela in South America. And these ill effects of socialism and Marxism are clearly seen in an economic collapse. There is great political instability, great economic instability, great societal instability, and erosion of morality in Venezuela. Ungodly anti-Christian movements today seek often to deal with the issue of racism. And racism is clearly sinful. And racism, with its racial discrimination and prejudice, with its view that another race of people is inferior to one, is based upon pride. The Bible does not endorse sin. It does not endorse racism or pride. And while movements today seek to deal with racism because their philosophies and ideologies are based upon ungodly thoughts, are often socialistic and Marxist in principle and in the foundation of their beliefs, the movements really cannot address the issue of racism apart from God's grace, God's wonderful grace that enables us to turn from sin. Of course, grace comes to us through the truth of God. A group called Black Lives Matter endorses the use of violence, lawlessness, to achieve its goals. Black Lives Matter seeks to overcome racism. Many of its beliefs and tenets deal with racist tendencies, and the organization has become quite popular because many people hear the term, the label, Black Lives Matter, and agree with that, as I do. Of course, Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. But sadly, many people do not investigate the core beliefs of Black Lives Matter, which are clearly non-Christian, and I want to share some of those with you. While Black Lives Matter seeks an end to racism as a goal, it seeks to end racism through ungodly, un-Christian principles and beliefs, and that is a great error. A member of Black Lives Matter has encouraged the organization's achieving its goal through violence and through, quote, burning down this system, unquote, if needs be. Black Lives Matter protests sometimes turn violent and there is looting and arsoning. BLM protesters have also targeted monuments and statues, spray painting them with graffiti, pulling them down to the ground. In other words, destruction of public and private property. Recently, Black Lives Matter has had a high level of popularity, but it is socialistic in nature. The platform offers a clear demand for socialism under the cover of racial reconciliation. People seem to agree with Black Lives Matter, which has benefited greatly through its fundraising efforts, because the name condemns racism, but BLM's views go much farther than just racism. In its socialistic principles, BLM proclaims a belief that there should be a received guaranteed minimum income, free health care, schooling, food, real estate, gender reassignment surgery, and abortion, bringing an end to all jails, to disrupt the traditional family, to demand reparations on behalf of foreign nations, and to form a global liberation movement that will overturn U.S. imperialism and capitalism. BLM is a political organization with an agenda no less comprehensive than reshaping the entire world. It is a radical pressure group that embraces a vista of controversial extremist positions. It seeks a defunding of police, a demand for socialism, for the government maintenance of individuals. Black Lives Matter seeks nothing less than a transformation of culture and radical socialism, seeks the building of welfare programs, including free abortion for minors, a massive wealth distribution, not a reforming and helping of culture, but a transforming of cultures and government from democratic republics to socialistic states. This government support would include free education for all, special protection for homosexual and trans-homosexual people, free health services for all, including abortion, defunding the police, and ending prisons. One of the more troubling aspects of Black Lives Matter's agenda is its goal to dismantle the traditional family. I quote, "We make our spaces family-friendly," unquote. It seeks to do this through the destruction of the traditional family. I quote, "We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable," Again, this is socialism. This is a global liberation movement to overthrow capitalism, democratic republics. It sees capitalistic democratic republics to be imperialistic, white supremacist, and patriarchal, as oppressive to people. It demands that the U.S. military budget be cut by 50% to close military bases around the world, to increase taxes to fund people in its socialistic programs. It seeks to tax what it considers bad groups of people, not good groups of people. That is, it seeks to tax as determined by its own criteria. Black Lives Matter seeks to legalize prostitution and the possession and sale of all drugs, no matter what their quantity. And reparation is sought for what it sees as past oppressions in this socialistic model. This is just a partial listing of the BLM goals and beliefs, most of which are in opposition to biblical truth and deal with governmental and economic issues in this socialistic framework. Clearly, many of Black Lives Matter's views are in contradiction to the Bible and seek to supplant and replace truth, the Bible's teaching about these issues, and so it must be rejected. The group uses an intended end to racism as a cover for its goals to supplant culture with socialism. Another term that is heard often today is the term woke. And the question is asked, what does it actually mean? Woke is used to deal with the issues of sensitivity to and awareness of racial and social discrimination or injustice. The dictionary defines woke as aware of and actively attentive to the important facts and issues of racial and social justice. It is a Marxist-inspired movement that started off with well-intentioned people that wanted to stop racism. One man writes, "It is now morphed into a cult that seeks to silence all those that disagree with it, at first using social humiliation, but now graduating to violence through Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots. Woke belief, and some consider woke to be religious in its nature, to be a religion, are a denial of absolute truth." This is the first characteristic of woke. There is no absolute truth. And a second characteristic is that woke religion is anti-racist. There is a socialistic equality that is sought for people in woke. It seeks an equality of outcome, again, a leveling of all classes and distinctions, so that there is this equal outcome, a socialistic view. Woke also believes that the ends justify the means. In other words, if the end and the goal is worthy, it doesn't matter how you achieve that goal. And woke believes in totalitarian control. That is the final phase or stage of Marxism, which would be global socialism. Clearly, these views, woke beliefs, are contrary to Scripture, are anti-Scripture. Cancel culture deals with another phenomenon that is quite common in the West these days. Again, these movements have impacted Africa and will perhaps more fully impact Africa in the future. Cancel culture is a collective attempt to harm the reputation, livelihood, and social presence of people, products, TV shows, celebrities, employees, for violating a particular ideological standard. Cancel culture uses ridicule, publishing personal information about people, attempting to have people's bank accounts removed, getting people fired from their jobs, getting others not to support a person, product, or company socially and financially. It is an oppressive means of attempted control of others. It is the idea of canceling a person or product. And lately, a writer states, social media has given rise to a kind of unaccountable mob rule that punishes the guilty for all sorts of moral violations. they will ridicule, threaten, and even try the offending party from their jobs. Canceling can occur for not being on the right side of a subject. And the moral violation, or the side that's chosen by those who cancel others in this cancel culture, is determined by the group. Here again, the absolutes of the Bible, the truth of the Bible, does not determine what is right and wrong as God sees it, but what is right and wrong is determined by the views of the group. It is very subjective. Has worked against people who do not agree with Black Lives Matter, with critical race theory, which looks at race and power in a culture. Cancel culture has worked against those who hold different views of gender identity and intersectionality, that is, how discrimination and privilege manifest itself in a person's social framework, again, a social construct or a concept of the social science. If one does not agree with the LGBTQ movement and sees that the LGBTQ movement endorses sexual deviation that is wrong, they can be canceled. One's views of their stand on race or racism has brought about the canceling of people, and their view of sexual orientation, transsexuality, that is, the surgical alteration to change a person's birth sex, one's view of socialism, or the view that white-skinned people have a special privilege, an inherent privilege in society simply because they're white. Any deviation from a group's views of these areas, for instance, can lead an individual to be canceled. Cancel culture operates in a leftist agenda, which brings about a loss of reputation, popularity, even the job of a person who does not agree with that view. It is simply a restriction on the free speech of others. And obviously, this is an injustice. Is canceling an individual who does not agree with your opinion fair? I quote an internet writer, "With the increasingly left-leaning morality found in societies worldwide, what is considered fair is arbitrary and changing. What is considered acceptable today might not be tomorrow, and vice versa. Who knows what people become guilty of years from now for the things they've done in earnest today." In the thinking of those who endorse cancel culture, morality is not absolute as determined by God, but morality is dependent upon one's position and the benefit to one in their position. Cancel culture is potentially dangerous because of the damage it can cause. It can curtail free speech and the free exercise of religion. Of course, these views are in contrast to the teaching of the Bible, that God's truth is an absolute that never changes, that endures forever, that is always true, that will never fail, that it is inspired by God, God's inspired word given to us, and that truth is not determined by one's views of truth, but truth is determined by God's declaration of what is true and of what is not true. Friends, our time is gone for today. We'll continue at this point next Lord's Day. Let us pray. Lord, how we need to hold to the truth in these last and evil days when the truth is challenged in so many ways. And I pray for my country, America, that you will give Christians strength and insight to be able to discern truth from lies, truth from error in these last days, that your people will hold to your word and know that your word alone is truth. And I pray for my friends in Uganda, in Africa, that you will enable them to discern with great wisdom the truth of God and to believe the truth and hold to the truth, to recognize these anti-scriptural views and beliefs, to examine these issues, to think them through carefully in light of Scripture, and so enable us to defend the faith and hold to the faith. Bless you and praise you, Jesus, for the teaching today. Bless it to our hearts. I ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.